Dermatology Snapshots, October 2023. Email admin@dermatologysnapshots.com to be added to mailing list. Paper 1. Real-world implementation and outcomes of adalimumab therapeutic drug monitoring in psoriasis. A National Specialised Centre Experience. Rahaja et al., Journal of Investigative Dermatology. Why we chose this paper. Adalimumab, a TNF inhibitor, is usually the first-line biologic for psoriasis in the UK. There is variable treatment response with the possibility of treatment failure, which may be attributed to an inadequate drug exposure. Despite this, no guideline on therapeutic drug monitoring exists, and dosing are adjusted using trial and error non-therapeutic drug monitoring approach in clinical practice. Study aim and design. Adalimumab therapeutic drug monitoring was implemented in the UK National Specialised Psoriasis Service over a 5-month period, and its outcome was evaluated using the RE aim, Reach, Effectiveness, Adoption, Implementation and Maintenance Implementation Science Framework. What were the main findings? 170 patients with psoriasis received adalimumab with therapeutic drug monitoring. Adalimumab therapeutic range of 3.2 to 7.9 milligrams per milliliter were used, non-trough level, which was established in a cohort study, Wilkinson, 2019. Two types of therapeutic drug monitoring were implemented. The first group, reactive therapeutic drug monitoring, that is, guides treatment in non-responders. There was clinical improvement, mean PASI reduction of 3.2 in 87%, N equals 15, of non-responders, following therapeutic drug monitoring guided dose escalation. The other group, proactive therapeutic drug monitoring, that is, maintains treatment response in responders. This led to successful treatment de-escalation in 5 patients who had subtherapeutic or supratherapeutic drug concentration and clear skin. Limitations. Is it applicable? The study was limited to a single centre with small number of patients, and patient engagement with therapeutic drug monitoring would be required. On this topic, a multi-centred randomised trial involving 61 patients investigated drug survival and effectiveness of adalimumab and methotrexate versus adalimumab monotherapy in adalimumab-naive psoriasis patients, Van Hoosen et al., 2023. There was a trend towards longer drug survival in adalimumab and methotrexate group than adalimumab monotherapy. Combination therapy may be considered if tolerated. What's the take-home message? Adalimumab therapeutic drug monitoring in routine psoriasis care may provide optimum dose adjustments based on quantifiable measures and may be cost-effective, but we think it also depends on the reliability of the assay. With some regions facing funding pathway restrictions, however, it's one method to ensure we give adalimumab its best shot. Adding methotrexate may also help. Paper 2. Epidemiology and diagnostic classification of adults presenting with an initial episode of leukocytoclastic vasculitis, a multicenter review of 440 patients, Walls et al., Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology. Why we chose this paper. We see small vessel vasculitis commonly in dermatology, particularly with inpatient reviews. A wide range of causes exist, and updated data on etiology is helpful to guide us on management. Study aim and design. This was a multi-centre retrospective review of cases between 2000 and 2014. Only patients with a biopsy-proven leukocytoclastic vasculitis were included. Only adult patients were included. What were the main findings? 440 patients were included, with 56% being male. Mean age was 55 years. 80.2% had skin-limited vasculitis. The most common systemic vasculitis was an IgA vasculitis, 12%, followed by connective tissue disease, 3%. Reassuringly, mirroring clinical practice, in 60.3%, the etiology was uncertain. Medication was identified as the cause in 27.5% and infection in 9.9%. Malignancy was the cause only in 2%. Interestingly, a sizable proportion of patients had fever, 24.8%, and joint pain, 19.3%. Furthermore, half of patients also had palpable purpura on the upper limbs. Limitations: is it applicable? This is a retrospective review, and determining etiology and causation can be tricky. A number of patients won't have undergone skin biopsy and will not be represented in this sample. What's the take-home message? This large retrospective review is reassuring in its key findings. In most patients, no cause is identified, 60.3%. In the vast majority, it's skin-limited disease, 80.2%. And though we often worry about malignancy, it was only identified as the cause in only 2% of this 440-patient cohort. Paper 3. The implication of a dermatopathologist's report on melanoma diagnosis and treatment. Nathanael, Life. Why we chose this paper? We know melanoma histology isn't black and white, and in a recent New England Journal of Medicine commentary, authors argued that the increase in melanoma is largely due to overdiagnosis. This paper looks at the impact of getting a second specialist dermatopathologist review for melanoma. Study aim and design. External histopathology reports of patients referred to a single institute between January 2011 and September 2019 were compared with the review conducted by an expert dermatopathologist, a retrospective study. What were the main findings? A total of 177 specimens underwent histopathology review. Significant changes in the Breslow index were identified in 103 cases, 58.2%, though in the vast majority, 72.5%, the change was less than 0.2 millimetres. But in most cases, 73.2%, the revised Breslow was higher than the initial reported score. Consequently, the T stage was modified in 51 lesions, 28.8%. Substantial discordance rates were observed in T in situ, 57%, T1B, 59%, T3A, 67%, and T4A, 50% classifications. The revised histopathology reports resulted in alterations in the surgical plan in 15.3% of cases. Ulceration status was changed in 22 of the 168 histopathology reports that contained ulceration status, 13.1%, and the mitotic rate was changed in 47 of the 91 histopathology reports that contained mitotic rate data, 51.6%. Limitations: is it applicable? This is a retrospective study conducted at a single institute. Second reviews results in delays in pathology reports. The results of this study are supported by previous large studies. What's the take-home message? Second reports from specialised dermatopathologists can result in important changes, leading to alterations in surgical plans. This is particularly the case with thin melanomas, where small changes in Breslow thickness can lead to significant changes in staging. This, of course, must be balanced out with the delays in reporting that may occur and the increasingly stretched pathology workforce. Paper 4. Noteworthy case. Disabling pansclerotic morphea and STAT4. Two papers from the New England Journal of Medicine. What's the background? In a recent issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, authors describe a case of a 21-year-old who died from intractable disabling pansclerotic morphea. They link back to a June article in New England Journal of Medicine that discusses STAT4 and ruoxolitinib. What is STAT4? Disabling pansclerotic morphea, DPM, is a rare systemic inflammatory disorder in the scleroderma continuum. It presents with poor wound healing due to rapidly progressive fibrosis. Cytopenias and hypogammaglobulinemia can be seen. DPM is usually refractory to treatment. In the June publication, authors reported on 4 persons and 3 independent families with DPM, where they had identified monoallelic gain-of-function variants in the gene encoding signal transducer and activator of transcription, STAT4. Of the 4 patients described, 2 were initiated in ruxolitinib, with both showing clinical improvement. When should I think of it? DPM presents as severe and rapid morphea with ulceration in children. Scleroderma-associated antibodies are negative, but cytopenias and hypogammaglobulinemias are seen. It can be extremely refractory to treatment. In the case report recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine, methotrexate, mycophenolate mofetil, IVIG, rituximab, iloprost, cyclosporin, thalidomide, cyclophosphamide, tocilizumab, bosentan, and glucocorticoid pulses, together with hyperbaric therapy and stem cell transplantation, were all trialled with no success. The authors concluded that ruxolitinib should be considered early on in treatment. How do I test for it? Whilst a genetic basis for DPM has long been suspected, it's only this year that STAT4 was identified. Patients should be referred for genetics testing, though this may be limited to a few centres. Ultimately, consider STAT4 in children presenting with severe, rapidly advancing morphea with ulceration, especially if disabling and refractory to treatment. Paper 5. Trichodysplasia spinulosa. What is it? Rosa Neves, Skin Health and Disease. What is it? Trichodysplasia spinulosa is rare. You see painless erythematous papules on the face with folliculocentric keratin spicules that look like tiny hairs. It is caused by opportunistic trichodysplasia-associated polyoma virus in immunocompromised patients. Many topical and antiviral therapies have been reported to be ineffective to date. Paper 5. Trichodysplasia spinulosa. What is it? Rosa Neves, Skin Health. What is it? Trichodysplasia spinulosa is rare. You see painless erythematous papules on the face with folliculocentric keratin spicules that look like tiny hairs. It is caused by opportunistic trichodysplasia spinulosa-associated polyoma virus infection in immunocompromised patients. Many topical and antiviral therapies have been reported to be ineffective to date. What does this case tell us? Here, a bone marrow transplant recipient on an oral JAK inhibitor developed trichodysplasia spinulosa of the cheeks, forehead and nose. Ultimately, recalcitrant to many topical options, the condition improved with acitretin. Authors speculated that the JAK inhibition was an important predisposition because some viruses have JAK-STAT escaping mechanisms that allow host infection. Ruoxolitinib, the JAK inhibitor here used, has recently been authorised for vitiligo by the MHRA, although it's not yet NICE approved, so we may need to become more familiar with this drug and its potential side effects. Paper 6. The Long-Term Safety of Topical Corticosteroids in Atopic Dermatitis. A Systematic Review. Harvey et al. Skin Health. Tying in with our deep dive on topical steroid withdrawal last month, this paper provides some reassuring evidence on the safety of long-term, 5 years, intermittent topical corticosteroid use. It combines 7 studies, including nearly 12,000 people treated with steroids. Only 1 randomised controlled trial contained any cases of steroid atrophy, and where reported, there was no adrenal insufficiency. There was uncertain evidence regarding diabetes risk. Topical steroid withdrawal and eye problems were not addressed. Paper 7. Martha's Rule. What could the proposed changes mean for doctors? Dyer in the BMJ. This news item provides an update on the evolving proposals that have followed the case of Martha Mills, a 13-year-old who fell off her bike, rupturing her pancreas on the handlebars. She eventually died of pancreatic sepsis in 2021 at a specialised London hospital. The serious incident investigation that ensued identified that although her parents raised concerns, she was not transferred to intensive care soon enough. Her parents, newspaper and book editors, were apparently loyal NHS supporters, but felt their concerns were ignored, and so have lobbied government to introduce a formal system to enable patients or families the right to a second opinion if a patient is deteriorating in an urgent situation. Currently, patients may request a second opinion, but there is no legal obligation for doctors to comply. Equally, in an emergency, patients and families may be unaware of their right to request a second opinion, or how to go about seeking one. Steve Barclay, Health Secretary, has referred to a similar rule in Australia, called Ryan's Rule, which was introduced after a similar case, on the grounds it may improve patient safety. Government representatives and news outlets are supportive, but doctors have raised concerns about practical implementation given current staffing pressures. Thank you.
Thank you.